If you take a look around, you will notice that the Christmas season is in full swing. Christmas music is playing out of speakers in downtown Coburg. Later this afternoon, the Jolly Man in Red will parade down King Street. Radio stations will soon be playing the music of the season. And all of this gives me a bit of a chuckle, because Christmas doesn't actually start until December 25th. But why be a stickler? We in the church are looking forward to Advent and the start of the church year. However, we seem to have gotten things a little backwards, as all the advertisements in the papers and on television are telling us that Christmas has arrived. In fact, not including today, there are only 5 Sundays until Christmas. And let me tell you that that causes no one to panic more than your minister. Only 5 weeks to get ready for the birth of Jesus. Yet all around us, the focus is on getting the Christmas shopping started. Yesterday, of course, we held our Christmas tea and bazaar, and it was a great and wonderful event, very successful, and what I witnessed tells me that the Christmas baking has also begun in earnest, part of the season I enjoy. It is a time when we make plans to gather with family and with friends, to share old stories and to create new memories. A time when we give and receive gifts. And our parable this morning is well known. And one of the major elements of this parable is that gift of money, the good news translated as 5,000 gold coins and 2,000 gold coins and 1,000 gold coins. And other translations simply say 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent. But that talent that was given to those 3 servants. In today's world, we think of talents as abilities, and we hold talent shows to demonstrate and enjoy the various gifts that people have. However, in the context of the parable, a talent was really a very large sum of money. And the Good News Translation gives you a sense of how much money it would be, but just to put it in modern terms, that single talent or that 1,000 gold that is buried, well, that would be the equivalent of over $1 million in today's money. A tidy sum. Now, the parable of the talents has been misused over time, in my opinion. Our focus is that we must take what we have been given and we must work really hard with it. We're not allowed to be idle. We must be busy working, which kicks in our Protestant work ethic, I suppose. It's a nice follow-up from that parable of last week of the 10 bridesmaids, the oil that they had. That last servant in our reading this morning, the one who buries the money, he's idle. He's not productive. And as a result, he is cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now, Matthew, in writing his gospel, has a thing for the outer darkness, the weeping, and the gnashing of teeth. This particular reference or phrase is found, I believe, 7 times in all of Scripture, and 6 of them are in Matthew. And we have problems with this parable. As Jan was finishing reading this morning, and as the Bible is closed and the reading is finished, Jan says, "This is the word of the Lord," and we all reply, "Thanks be to God." And I sat there this morning thinking, but sometimes with these readings, I don't know if we're really thankful, because this is problematic, because we don't like what happens to that third servant. In fact, I think we have two major issues with this parable. The first is that we are afraid of being treated like the third servant. A servant who, in our opinion, doesn't do anything wrong. There was no command to invest the money. It was simply given. There was no strings attached to it. So, why punish the servant? At least this servant didn't squander the money like the prodigal son did with his inheritance. But wait, the prodigal son is welcomed back with open arms. Quite the opposite of the message that we have this morning. Both stories from Matthew's gospel. And the second reason we dislike this parable is because we have problems reconciling with how God could punish this servant. A servant we are afraid we might resemble. And this stems from the characterization as the landowner being God. Again, this is a historic way of reading this parable. However, if we read the parable clearly and closely, the landowner is never explained as being God. Instead, we are told that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who goes on a journey, which is a very different thing than saying God is like a landowner. In many ways, I feel that we need to divest ourselves of the way that this parable has been taught to us. Growing up, this parable was always tied to church stewardship campaigns. Take your talents, use them, and then give back to the church richly. The metaphor fits, but I think there's more going on. I think we can dig a little deeper. And so instead, I want to ask you a question. What have you been given? Might we list some of the things that we have received? Our health, wealth, family, friends, a job, security, a home, possessions, trust, love, respect. I'm sure I could go on. However, in the context of our parable, I simply want to add one further item to that list, and that item is grace. And if these are among some of the things that you have been given, then what are you going to do with the things which have been entrusted to you? What should you do with or about the family that you are a part of? What do you do with the love which you have received? The respect which people afford you? The security that you enjoy because of where you live? But perhaps the question should not be what will you do with what you have been given, but rather, do you realize what you have received? Now here's the rub, and there's two of them. There's two things that are hard for us to overcome about this parable. The first is that we do not stop and practice the art of gratitude enough. we are not really good at it. Oh, we might say thank you, but I don't think that as a society we really acknowledge what we have received and express appropriate gratitude. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, and it's hard. Everything I have listed and spoken about is about you, is about me. And the problem is that this parable is not about you, and it is not about me. It is not about our individual affirmation. We need to take ourselves out of the equation. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven. As soon as we begin to think that anything we have is our own, that it is ours because we have acquired it solely by virtue of our individual effort, and that we must clutch to it tightly because there is not enough, and we are alone in the world and no one else is there to help us or care for us, then we have turned aside from the way of Jesus and his kingdom. Just as we find in this parable, things have been entrusted to us. The love of our families and friends, possessions, our jobs. These are tangible things that we can hold and grasp. But God has also entrusted us with grace and mercy. We have been given much, and when we are entrusted with things, we are called to respond. We are called to respond to the grace we've been given. Just as the oil that those bridesmaids received last week wasn't really oil, these three servants were never really given a handful of talents. They were offered grace. And the expectation was that they would share that grace. And the third servant missed that. The third servant tried to turn a gift freely given into a possession. We have been given much, and it is time to stop squandering and squabbling over that which we have been given. Behaving in this way does not honor God or accomplish the work of God's kingdom. It does not spread the grace that we have been offered. This is the message of the parable of the talents. The kingdom, the landowner, only returns when we do the work of the kingdom. As disciples of Christ, that is what we are called to do. We must remember that Matthew names Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. This is the same Jesus who taught the Sermon on the Mount. And here, towards the end of his gospel account, Matthew is saying Jesus remains with us when we follow his teaching, that the kingdom comes when we offer to others the gift that has freely been given to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.